Romans, we start in Romans 9. This will be the 21st lesson, actually. And if there are questions, I hope there are questions or comments, we'll try to handle them at the end, question and answer time. But starting in Romans 9:24, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. And remember, this is Romans 9, part of Romans, the section Romans 9, 10, and 11, which is to Rome about Israel and why Israel is not God's people anymore. So, even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, most likely you would assume, and you can assume, since it's in Romans 9, 10, and 11, that he's talking about the covenant program, the covenants God made with Israel, and those Jews and Gentiles that sided with Israel's contact with God, Israel's covenants and commandments. There were Gentiles along with it. That's all documented in my lesson on the website called Paul's Mixed Multitude. There we go. I got it. On the speaker's page, I think it's number 5, it's down under Paul's Mixed Multitude. And you can check that out. Israel was called of God to believe that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, the Son of God. Elsewhere in the Bible, that's called the Gospel of God. It's always, when it talks about the Gospel of God, that's what it's talking about. That Jesus was resurrected, he was the Son of God, and he was the Messiah. Some of Israel was called by God, they were all called of God, but those that accepted God's call to believe, they were the little flock of Israel, and they're referred to as that in Luke, I believe it is Luke 12. They're referred to as the Israel of God in Galatians 6. They're those descendants of Jacob and Israel. Going back to Romans 9:24, there were Jews and Gentiles. Well, the little flock of Israel was those descendants of Jacob and Israel blessing Gentiles. Israel blessing Gentiles. If you go back to Genesis 12, verse 3, you find that God made this covenant with Israel, but there was a part of it that would benefit the Gentiles. I will bless them that bless thee, he said, to Abram. And so that includes anybody, that includes Gentiles that would bless Abraham and the seed of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob, being Israel then. So it was the Gentiles both the Gentiles and Jews that believed and obeyed the covenants and the commandments, and here's the crucial point where they failed. They needed to accept God's call to believe that Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, the Son of God. They didn't follow through on that. They had done all the other things. Romans 11, verse 7 says, "What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded." So those that did obtain the righteousness that they sought for, they were the ones that obtained it. The rest didn't. They didn't get multiple chances either. Apparently, it says they were blinded. It's not like today in the age of grace, the dispensing of God's grace to anyone who would receive it. back then, the rest that did not believe were blinded, and they were those descendants of Jacob, which in Romans 9:31 followed after the law of righteousness, and hath not attained the law of righteousness, because in Romans 9:32 they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. I can do it, Lord. Watch me. I'm pretty good. I'm going to be as good as I can be. Is that good enough yet, Lord? No, it's not. We have to have the righteousness of God, and that's only by faith. But Israel sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And as we saw before, I'm trying to think. That's a different verse. Okay, scratch that. Jesus Christ was that stumbling stone. As you know from reading Acts chapter 7, 8, and 9, Saul of Tarsus had not accepted God's call to believe that Jesus was the resurrected Messiah of Israel. Saul was not part of that little flock of believing Israel. But Saul was part of that entire nation, the nation of Israel, containing believers and unbelievers, who God called to believe. God's call was out there, and they were to believe it. Those that believed were in line with God's command and God's offer of salvation, if they endured to the end. Those that didn't believe were out of God's will. They were not following God, not obeying, as they had promised to do in Deuteronomy 6:25. Here in Romans 9:24 that we started with, Saul was part of the "even us," quote, "even us," that were called to God, called by God to believe. Some believed and some did not believe. Those that did not believe became fitted for destruction, and so they were hardened. As in Acts 28, verses 25 to 28. You can read those harsh words that sound almost uncharacteristic of God, but it was foretold in the Old Testament that if they did not believe, that would happen. And they were becoming "Lo am I," the casting away of Israel. Look in another place. We'll look in Hosea 1:9. He's actually saying that in the future, from when it was prophesied in Hosea, in the future from there would come a time when Israel would be called not God's people. Not God's people. That's today. The verse reads, "Then said God..." "Then said God, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God." Now remember, that was a prophecy. It was in the Old Testament, but it hadn't happened yet. It was a prophecy of what would happen, and that did happen. You can see it in Acts 7, beginning, and a diminishing through Acts, from Acts 7 to Acts 28, when they are cast away in those verses we mentioned above. Acts 28, verses 25 to 28. That's Israel's situation today, their current situation. It's saying that they are no longer considered to be Israel, to be God's chosen people. They are now considered Gentiles. Now, they didn't change their ancestry. I mean, they still descended from Israel, who was the renamed Jacob. Jacob was renamed Israel, and the children of Israel is what we're talking about here. But they don't have those covenants in place because they've walked away from the covenants. They would not believe that Jesus was their Messiah. Hosea 2, verse 23 says, it prophesies later in history, I will sow her unto me in the earth, and I will have mercy upon her that had not obtained mercy. And I will say to them which were not my people, Thou art my people. And they shall say, Thou art my God. So there will be a rejoining of that covenant between God and Israel in the future. It hasn't happened yet. Israel is under the same situation as Gentiles are today. And welcome to the room, each of you. We're studying in Romans, mostly in Romans 9 here. We see that that Paul reports about it, about that Hosea 2:23 and Hosea 1:10 and 1:9 and 1:10. In Romans chapter 9, verse 25, Paul reports, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. Now, you got to believe the words on the page, or it's useless to read the Bible. Who are the ones that were called my people? It's those which were not my people. They were called not my people. And you can read that in Hosea 2:23. You can read it in Hosea 1:9. Call his name Lo am I for... Let me get that in front of me here. Then God said, call his name Lo am I, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. And if you go to the very next verse, you can see what happens after a large time gap that we're in right now. Afterwards, it says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So it's a bringing back to God of Israel. It's not us. It's not the Gentiles of today that he's talking about. So I hope we can see that from the wording in the scripture. It's talking about a time when Israel will be regathered in their land that was promised to them, not to us, to them. And it was after they were cast away, and it occurs not only after they were cast away, which was long ago, but it occurs after this present time that we're in now. They are not his people at this time now. And God will, in the future, call them my people. My people. That'll be a good time for them. It'll be a hard time, though. It'll happen around the tribulation time. The 70th week of Daniel. That will be after the catching up to heaven of us, the body of Christ. God gave us a different name for a reason. We're not the same. We're not the same group of people. We didn't believe the same gospel. God dispensed different grace, different to Israel than to us. We don't have to endure to the end to be saved. We're saved upon believing. Ephesians 2:5 says so. Ephesians 2:8 says so. Romans 5:11 says so. So that'll be after the catching up of the body of Christ, when Israel will again be in the forefront of God's action. God will be working through Israel in the world at that time in the future. So, going on now to the next verse, Romans 9:25. Well, that matched what we read in Hosea 2:23 about the coming back of Israel, returning of Israel to the land. And also Romans 9:26 matches Hosea 1:10, as it says in Hosea 1:10, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that In the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. As Paul says in Romans 9:26, it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God. Hosea is a good little book with a line of Israel's future events in it. Hosea's prophecy. It's prophecy. It's not mystery. It's what's being told. That's that body of information that we know that isn't kept secret until Paul. It has been told about, and it continues to tell about God's plan. What had not been told about God's plan was revealed by Christ, but it was revealed much later, and it was not revealed by Christ when he walked the earth. Christ revealed it only after his crucifixion, his resurrection back to life again, and his appearances to the believers, and his ascension back to heaven. It was only then revealed by Christ through Paul. And you can only find that revelation, that the revelation of the mystery, the telling of the secret, in Paul's writings, in Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon. So it is after Israel's casting away they will be regathered. And they have been cast away. Acts 28, you can read it, Acts 28, verses 25 to 29. And as we continue this study, we'll find the place where they were cast away. We'll come upon those scriptures where they fit in, but that's a preview, a peek. The time that they were cast away is documented in the Bible. It's not some theory or opinion. When you believe the words on the page of the Bible, it's not your opinion, it's God's statement. And when you side with that, it's not like somebody saying, well, it's my opinion, so it's got to be right. You've got your opinion, I've got mine. No, we're adopting God's opinion. And that's what counts. That's what he goes by. So, you can follow the sequence of events in history that have not yet happened to find Israel's regathering in prophecy. Well, let's go on to Romans 9:27. Paul quotes Isaiah, or Isaiah as we know it, translated from, I think, Isaiah, I think, is the Hebrew, and Isaiah is the Greek name for the same person, as I understand it. Anyway, in that book that we're familiar with, Paul quotes, in Romans 9:27, Paul quotes Isaiah about Israel, and he says, Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. That's a remnant is just a small part. A small part of Israel when it's talking about it in the scriptures. I don't mean to offend anybody about the difference between Israel and the body of Christ. Please stick with us. Try to ignore any preconceptions that you may have, and we have had, about Israel and the body of Christ until we see what the scripture actually says. I know for a long time I had the wrong preconception about the relationship or difference between Israel and the body of Christ, and I had to consider the scriptures without that preconception before I was able to see what the Bible truth is, which is presented in the scriptures. Hold on a second, let me get a sip here. Okay, let's read from the middle of Romans 9:27. Though the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. So there Paul is saying, in the future, there will be a large part of the nation, the physical descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, will be Israel. But only a small part of them, a remnant, will be the Israel of God, that part of Israel that believes God. Going on to Romans 9:28 and 29, two verses here. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. Well, Sodom and Gomorrah were totally destroyed, weren't they? But not Israel, not totally. Okay, they are not God's people right now, but they're not destroyed. They're still descendants of Jacob that will be brought back together. In those verses 27 through 29, we see the remnant of Israel, prophetic Israel, the few that believe. They were there believing the gospel of the kingdom that was given them throughout the years, starting in Exodus 19, verses 3 through 8. And we should read part of that so we're aware of what kingdom. They were expecting a kingdom. Will you at this time bring in the kingdom? They asked Jesus. Well, it wasn't some new invention that the Lord Jesus was presenting them with. They were wanting the kingdom for centuries. They had been promised it. Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests. There's the kingdom. Israel shall be a kingdom. Not only a kingdom, but they're going to be priests, a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation, priesting the rest of the world to God. These are the words thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now let's look ahead to the last part of this third establisher. Remember where we are in Romans. Romans 1 through 5:11 is how to be saved, actually, how to be justified. That we need to be justified starts off with our condition, being born dead in sins and trespasses and sins, and needing the life of God, the righteousness of God, and how to get it. And that is pretty much you come to the end of it, or the high point of it, I guess, in Romans 5:11, that we have now received the atonement of God. And then he goes on, Paul goes on in the second part of Romans 5:12 through 8:39, through the end of chapter 8, with how we live that out. How the being imputed the righteousness of God as a believer, how do we live that out in our life? What difference does it make? Do we have a second nature, not just the flesh that people are born with, but we also, once you're saved, you have the Spirit of God to follow. So that's the second part of the establisher. Third part is what we've gotten into now in Romans 9. It has to do with the scriptures of the prophets. And they were prophesying Israel. Well, why isn't Israel the way to be saved anymore? That's what Paul was introducing to those Jews in Rome, that there's a different way now. It's not by the law and the covenants and enduring to the end and all of that. It's simply believing that Christ died for your sins, my sins, And trusting in that's enough. It's enough for God. He said so. He said he would save you by that. Believing that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. And, you know, if you want it to be more than what God said it to be, you're not there yet. You need to put aside that I can help, I can do it attitude, and trust that Christ died for your sins. Let's look at the scriptures about that third establisher. He starts off with the ending part of I'm gonna leave out the first and second part, and we'll read Romans 16, 25 and 26, just relating to the third establisher. Okay, now to him that is a power to establish you by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So, and he, you know, you, if that's all you knew, you could mistake it for saying, well, we should learn the Ten Commandments then. But as you go through and study what those chapters that he's talking about, what they say and what they mean, he's showing that Israel is gone right now. Israel is not the way to God. And that the gospel that Paul preached is the way to God today. So when we get down to verse 30, Romans verses 30 to 33, Paul begins comparing those Greek Gentiles that were gathering to Israel in the synagogues. Greeks, now Greek, I don't know if, I don't remember if it's been recent that we've talked about the Greeks, but they had a special place in God's plan, in God's working things out. They were there to provoke Israel to jealousy. How come these Gentiles are getting saved by the grace of God? They get saved immediately when they believe, and yet we Jews, we have to wait and endure to the end and do all the commandments and everything. So that was their calling, was to make Israel jealous so that some of them would become the remnant according to the election of grace. And I think that's Romans 11, 5, as I recall. 5 and 6. So Paul is comparing these Greeks that were gathering to Israel in the synagogues under Israel's program, not considering anything about the body of Christ, usually not knowing about the body of Christ yet. And when they heard Paul preach his gospel, the gospel of Christ, after the gospel of God, always remember as we went through Acts there, that Paul, as his manner was, he would go in and preach about the resurrection of Christ, that Christ is the Son of God and he's the Messiah. And you can see that in Acts 17:3. You can see it in Acts 18 when he went to Corinth there, Acts 18, the first five or six verses before he separates out those that believed who Jesus was and had his own Paul's meetings with them and preached to them the gospel of Christ by which they could be saved. That was the gospel of salvation, that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and rose again. Believe it and be saved. So, but you don't just believe their historic facts. You believe it affects you. It's your sins and my sins that he died for. And being those sins being died for already, we can't be held with them. The Lord sees the righteousness of God in us. God has made him who knew no sin to be sin so that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Words of God. So when these Greeks and some of the Jews heard Paul preach his gospel, the gospel of Christ, they believed it, and they became part of the body of Christ instantly. The Spirit baptizes them into the one body of Christ. And Paul begins comparing them to Israel in Romans 9, verse 30. Israel, this is verse 31 actually, Israel hath not attained to the right, let me get it right here, that's so important. Israel hath not attained to the law of righteousness. And before we go on to Paul's comparison, in verse 30, let's look to see what Paul was preaching in the synagogues. In Acts 13, verses 38 and 39, be it known unto you, men and brethren, well, the brethren were his brother Jews, but the men were some other group. That was those Greeks, the ones that were wanting to come to God through Israel's covenants, coming to the synagogues, bringing their tithes to Israel, blessing Israel to be part of that the benefits of that covenant in Genesis 12:3. So let's read it again. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man, and he's speaking of Jesus, it just described him in length and his death, burial, and resurrection earlier between Acts 13, verse 14 and verse 38. He had done all that description of who Jesus is. And Paul said, through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. If you recall, when Peter preached to Israel in the temple on the Pentecost day there, in Acts 2, he said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That's not the same. It's translated from the same word, but there are different conditions around it, meaning that you can't translate. You can translate this as remission because it's immediate. Remission is something that is in the future. When they get their sins remitted, it means the punishment is abated until later it's taken care of. And they're told elsewhere that their sins are forgiven. Acts 3:19, their sins are forgiven when Christ returns. That's when they're blotted out. That's unlike us, as you know, you may know, or it may be going over our heads, but again, we are saved upon belief. Israel, in their doctrine and their dispensing of God's grace, they are saved at the return of Christ. That's when their sins are blotted out. They're only remitted upon belief. So, Paul, in Acts 13, verses 14 to 41, preached about now forgiveness. Forgiveness of sins at the time that you believe. And by him, this is from the scripture again, Acts 13, 39, by him all that believe are justified from all things. That's present tense. Are justified from all things. It's not just all past things, but all things, from all things. From which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. There is the comparison, two ways to be justified. And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Well, before Christ's revelation to Paul, the law of Moses was all that was available. And now we'll close with four verses that are pivotal in understanding this. We're going to close when we get through. I'm going to make a couple comments on them. Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. And remember that Paul is beyond talking only about Israel. He's now comparing those of us that received the righteousness of God by faith as Paul describes in Romans 3, 21 and 22. And Paul is comparing us with Israel, which he could not do if the body of Christ receives Israel's blessings. We're a separate entity. We're not, you know, an outlet for God to give us Israel's blessings since Israel failed. No, we're a separate entity. So what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, and that would be in time past they followed not after righteousness, but now they have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, or doing works of the law of righteousness, they hath not attained to the law of righteousness. In other words, no matter how closely you try to follow all those rules in the Mosaic law, you cannot do it. You do not attain to the law of righteousness. You fail every time. You fail it. Going on to Romans 9:32. Wherefore? Why, in other words? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense. And whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So that stumbling stone is somebody to be believed. It's Jesus Christ. And that was when Israel stumbled. When they crucified their Messiah, that was when they stumbled. And that pretty much is Israel in past tense. Time passed. Next we get to chapter 10, the middle of the three chapters in this third section of the three establishers. We see Paul talking to Israel at that time, at the time he wrote it. And then in chapter 11 we see more about how Israel was cut off, was diminished, was cast away, and will be restored in their future. Yet to occur. Actually, their future and hope right now is in their coming to Christ, as we do, as we all do, through the gospel of Christ, presented by Paul, the gospel that Paul calls my gospel, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God today, which Jesus Christ revealed to Paul, the gospel by which he was saved on the road to Damascus, and that he presented to us. 1 Corinthians 15:1-2 says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. So he's telling them how to be saved by this gospel. What to do, do or believe, and it's not the doing of anything, it's the believing in order to be saved. So when a person is learning and considering whether or not to be saved, keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So do not believe in vain by changing what Paul preached. Do not cling to what Peter preached for Israel to be saved. God's not doing that anymore. Do not mix what Paul preached with another gospel that Peter or others preached only to Israel. Throughout his 13 epistles, Paul preached that you are saved by God's grace through faith, not of works. A person first hears the word of truth the gospel of their salvation, and then trusts in Christ to save him as he said he would. And he is then immediately sealed with that Holy Spirit. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Paul's telling how he received Christ. It has nothing to do with what you eat or drink. Whether it's pork or blood soup, etc., or a wafer or wine. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So that is God's word on how to be saved in writing. Believe that Christ died for your sins and rose again for your justification. Amen. It's that simple. When you add something to it, you pollute it. Romans 4:5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So that rules out mixing in any of your own works to be saved.